Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
welcome back to another edition of Leader Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Mr. Gabriel Montoya. You know, I went into work today, and one of the guys at one of my lots go, ¿Qué pasó, Navi? And I said, ¿Qué onda, güey? And then he goes, oh, shit, you did really lose your voice. I said, bro, I don't lie. And even when I lie, I'm telling the truth. You know, so yeah, if you're wondering what's going on with my voice, I lost it on Saturday, man. Got hectic, got crazy, got exciting. Andy Ruiz pulled it off, upset, beat Anthony Joshua. What a great fight. Great fight between the two. Kudos to both men. Went out there and displayed their heart and everything that comes along with being a fighter. It's just really sad to see some folks can't accept what happened Saturday night. As myself and many others, we didn't really think that Andy Ruiz could pull it off. I had my reasonings. I said it on the air. But I did also say how we could win. And if that was to be the case, this was going to lead him to victory. And guess what? He took a page from, you know, Corey Sanders and Lamont Brewster, jumped on the big man, made the bigger man, you know, expend his energy, made him fight a short man's fight, which is something that it's an Achilles to tall, big fighters. You don't want to inside fight a shorter guy with shorter arms because his punches are going to land there first every single time. Big kudos to Andy and his trainers, man. I mean, they took it at a late notice. Baby Miller opted himself out by being tested with everything in his blood system except alcohol. And they took it on, and I was like, okay, is it enough time to have a game plan, Gabriel? Right? That was the main question for everybody that was thinking about that fight. You know, there was no question of whether or not can Andy Ruiz fight. We knew he could fight. We saw exactly what he did to Parker. Okay, he made a puncher turn into a boxer, which, as myself and so many others believe, that he won that fight. It's the only blemish on his record. Took some time off after that defeat, as anyone would, because it's a hard pill to swallow. Takes this fight, asked for this fight, DM'd Eddie Hearn for this fight, lands the fight. Moment of truth comes on Saturday night. You have the Mexican flag behind him. You have very little Mexican fans there at the Madison Square Garden, but the few that were there, they made enough ruckus to make themselves known, right? And as soon as that fight started going, still I had people asking me questions about what I thought, and do you think Andy's got a chance? And I was like, you're very optimistic, but at the same time, you know, realistic about this situation. Was fighting one of the best heavyweights right now of the division. You know, between Wilder, who is the most entertaining and exciting heavyweight, technically sound, AJ was the factor. Olympian, big, strong, athletic, could punch, and showed that he had a heart when getting dropped by Vladimir Klitschko, which is very funny to me to hear now that all of a sudden AJ's got a glass jaw. How many of you fuckers can take a shot from Vladimir Klitschko and get right back up and knock out and then, you know, drop him? How many can you do that, huh? You know, how many of you can take an Andy Ruiz shot straight right to the face? How many could take that? You know, I think it's hilarious that we can't accept a guy that came in not having the physique that we all supposedly imaged, you know, a Hercules physique. And the guy even tweeted out before the fight saying, I'm going to, you know, prove all my haters. And he does it. And why is it such a hard pill to swallow? That this guy defined exactly what the image that we all think or paint should, how a heavyweight's supposed to be. If anything, I think an heavyweight should be excited and happy. I was. Not only do I love the fact that boxing produces upsets, that boxing is so unpredictable, and that's why we watch it, that only once in a great while you're going to have these moments in this sport where you're like, shit, I was part of history. I actually watched history happen. Then it gets tarnished by the internet. Sometimes I wish we didn't have the internet. You know, it's so crazy. First Mexican-American Mexicano to win the heavyweight title, which I told Gabriel a long time ago. I'm like, man, I don't even think we're ever going to see a Mexican champion, heavyweight champion in our lifespan. I don't think it's going to happen. And look, without looking for it, it happened. It was a great night. Great night for anybody that's a fight fan. Great night for the Mexican Americans. Great night for Mexicans. You know, but really, if you take away all the nationality pride, it was a great night of boxing. It was a great night to witness an upset of such magnitude, of such excitement. Between the two, they were gutting it out. One man, though, just couldn't hold on long enough to pull out another trick out of the bag of the rabbit out of the hat. And instead of saying, hey, one guy came with a plan and stuck to it and did exactly what you're supposed to do in the fight game, which is hone down on your plan and stick to it and execute it, we got other fools just knocking it off and just, you know, now making tons and tons of it. Dude, I don't know. How many excuses have you seen out there, Gabriel? I think I've seen already like 6 or 7 excuses that are like lingering around for AJ, which AJ and Eddie Hearn are the only ones that are like not being, you know, sore losers about it. They're actually taking it really graceful, you know?
Are you asking me questions?
I was asking.
I didn't know if you were doing the monologue. You were asking me. You were introducing me into the show. you know, what was the question you were asking me?
How many excuses?
It's a thing, you know, the further along I go, the less I give a shit about what Boxing Twitter has to say a lot of the time. This is a lot of negativity. There's a lot of people without any, you know, if it's an anonymous account, more often than not, I'm just going to ignore that person or just kind of mute them. I've seen a lot of people just talk a lot of trash. I'm going to take this one for Mexico. Everybody else gets to fly their banner. Everybody else does. But you know, because our history isn't told, by our history, I mean Mexican-Americans or Mexicans. It's told by the victors. We get kind of X'd out of U.S. history, the standard history you get taught in public schools. You know, we get told Alamo or whatever. We don't get really told the real history of how several states became the United States, you know, several states that were actually Mexico. And the fact that they, you know, there's the treaty and everything, but the U.S. didn't, you know, of Guadalupe Hidalgo. But the U.S., like many treaties that they've signed after conquering folks, they didn't honor that treaty. So to me, it's not even worth all that much. So I'm going to take this one for Mexico. And it to me, it was typical. Michael Woods was kind of like, what is all this Mexico stuff? Kevin Ioli was like, I don't understand why he's saying he's, you know, he's Mexican. Isn't he from here? And it's like, dude, you're from Nevada. You should know that that was, you know, not always the United States, right?
Right.
You know, so like, and these guys that, you know, you've covered Mexicans for so long, like in boxing, like, how do you not understand? How have you never asked that question? And it was interesting. I was listening to an immigration lawyer speak about the issue. An immigration reporter speaking about immigration and going to cover the borders and everything. And they said, you know, so much more understanding could be had of the people coming from Central and South America, coming up from Mexico to come to the United States, if instead of asking them, why are you coming here, ask them, why are you leaving there? And then we would get kind of an understanding, a deeper human understanding. And, you know, you'd have to maybe ask Andy his whole history. He's got family members that were all born in Mexico. Like, speaking for myself, I'm a Mexican-American or American of Mexican descent because I've got family. One, my mom's from Mexico. My dad's side was here in, you know, the 1700s. We came over in the 1500s. Both sides have Spanish roots. settled in Mexico. One side was on that side before the U.S.-Mexico War, and the other side had been here since the 1700s, and they decided to be on this side. But to make us choose, I mean, this is actually parts of the United States are, you know, like the Southwest are Mexican homeland. You know, just because it has a different name and they drew an imaginary map there doesn't take away all the history, centuries of history that Mexicans have had in this country. So to ask, how come he's flying two flags? You might as well just put a T-shirt on that says I'm an ignorant fool when it comes to the United States and Mexico's history. So all weekend long, I just been running into Mexicans. Like, it was weird. It was like I was helping a friend move on Saturday night. One of the people that was in my show, we closed Saturday, and I drove over to her place to help her move. And this is out in Vallejo. And where she moved was like in downtown Vallejo, where they was having a car show. So there's just like every Mexican in Vallejo was at this car show, and dudes were just, everybody was buzzing. Everybody was talking about it. It's like being on a team that finally wins the Super Bowl after all these years. Now we're part of boxing history in every division. We've got a Mexican, you know, heavyweight champion. He's not the lineal. He doesn't have the WBC belt, but he's got three belts. He's looking to make some fights. He's probably going to have to do that rematch. But he did it the old-fashioned way. He wasn't sold to us Mexican style. He wasn't sold to us as like Chris Arreola, this is going to be the next heavyweight champion. This guy was, you know, even though he'd fought for it and arguably had beat Joseph Parker, and this should have been maybe his first defense of his title, was a unification match. Instead, you know, he's a guy that was just kind of thrown to the side. And when you really look at the fight, you know, I do this radio show, other radio show on Wednesdays, have for years, like almost as long as I've done this show, called Z-Twins Radio, or Game Time with Z-Twins. It's up in Washington State. And I told them how Andy could win, you know, but I didn't really take it. You know, it was like if Joshua bends his knees and trades on the inside and then allows that kind of fight, that's Andy's game. He has fast hands. He throws in combination. He's a good counterpuncher. He's got a good right hand. That's going to be, you know, but he's got all the punches. That'll be the problem. What Joshua has to do is stay at distance, win it that way, dominate him for like the majority of the fight, break him down, and then stop him late. But Joshua didn't do that. He put him down fast and got too good to him, and he went after Andy, who was supremely conditioned. But one of the things I pointed out was that Joshua hadn't fought since last year. This is his first fight of the year. He'd fought last in September against Povetkin. And so he took all that time off, fights in a different country for the first time, at the Garden with all that brings. And he was fighting the Garden mystique as much as Ruiz was. Whereas Andy had fought this year. He'd fought twice, you know, March, then July, then April. He had a long layoff after Kevin Johnson, but you know, he beat a tall dude in Alexander Demetrenko, you know, broke his ass down. So I think, you know, this is a guy that stayed busy since losing to Joseph Parker. That was a tough thing back in late December, didn't fight at all in 2017, but here he is fighting often. And I think he looked like the sharper guy on the night. I don't think there was that much wrong with Joshua, but I think that Ruiz was sharper.
You know, I think with Joshua, and I said this on the last show, is that if Joshua comes in with the Baby Miller plan, it's going to be all wrong for him, because he's not going to be facing a slow, thumping, coming forward heavyweight that throws one or two punches. He's going to throw a guy that has hand speed and volume. And those first two rounds, people are texting me and asking me, what do you think? And I said, well, we're going to see in two rounds, because it really depends on both men. How are they going to execute? How do they look? And those first two rounds told me, I was like, AJ's fighting as if he thinks he's in front of Miller. And Ruiz needs to take advantage of that. Getting that flash knockdown that AJ got over Ruiz, I'll never forget a quote that Roy Jones said. He said, sometimes getting an early knockdown can ruin the fighter that thinks he won, because he's being victorious. He's like, oh, I won. The fight is basically over for them, you know, and I don't know if that happened, because AJ immediately, Brian Kenny was like, he's ferocious. Look at the way he executes. Now watch this. And all of a sudden, AJ kind of looked like Wilder. He just swinging for the fences, trying to get Ruiz out of there. Now, was it because that he was trying to make a huge statement the way Wilder did last month? I don't know. We don't know what's going on in his mind. But what I know was that he was trying to trade in the inside, which allowed Ruiz to gather his bearings. And it also showed you that Ruiz was game. Like he said, I got Mexican blood in me. You know, I'm a warrior. This is what we do. And he just turned it on. And we saw the outcome of that there. How does he recover from this? You know, Gabe, I know that you have a difference of opinion from mine. So I'll let you say it first. What do you think about an immediate rematch for AJ to make with Ruiz back in the UK?
I don't know if he'll be back in the UK. That's going to be interesting to see where it lands. And the thing that you mentioned, I agree with, is now they have Al Heyman to deal with. How's that fight going to go down? You know, but if they exercise that rematch clause next, Joshua, I think, wants it. You know, he said 100%, you know, after the fight. But, you know, maybe cooler heads prevail and say he needs to take a fight in between. I think, you know, he's a hell of a fighter. He's got flaws. I mean, styles make fights. But, I mean, you know, he's got a lot to build from. He's got all the punches. He's, you know, the best side fighter, but at his age and experience level, you know. I just think he you know, he's got a good jab. He fought a different fight. I think he looked at Andy and thought, I want to move a lot. I'm going to tire this fat boy out. And he didn't realize the guy's got an engine on him. And that, you know, he knows how to do it. So I think with a longer look at Andy and a serious look at, now they know he's a real opponent. And, you know, we might see the best of Anthony Joshua. I mean, think about the careers that Vladimir Klitschko had, that Lennox Lewis had, that Joe Lewis had after losing. And losing by knockout. He's in fine company, Anthony Joshua, right now. You know, now we get to find out who he is. You know, it's not, you know, people want to throw him on the scrap heap or he's got a bad jaw. Two things can't be true, that, you know, he's fighting some of the biggest punchers of all time. But everybody always says, from, you know, any heavyweight champion, it's heavyweight boxing. And in heavyweight boxing, anything can happen. One punch can change everything. And in this fight, one punch changed everything. You know, it was kind of tight. And then, boom, you know, Joshua let his – all of a sudden, the top of the third, he exploded. And you're like, okay, he's seen what he needed to see. And, you know, Andy wasn't exactly a defensive riddle in there. He was taking some pretty flush shots throughout. I think what Joshua decided was, I can touch him. And this guy, he looks like – a developmental opponent physically. I should just get this guy the hell up out of there. And, you know, it goes to show you, it's boxing, not bodybuilding. And that looks can be deceiving. And to me, it's just, what could be more Mexican than being underestimated like Andy Ruiz was, that being unheralded. And that's the guy that pulls out the victory. You know, that's Cinco de Mayo. That's what we celebrate, beating the French army when we were completely outnumbered. In a war, you know, battle we shouldn't have won. That's what Ruiz did. And so I think Joshua, if they take a good long look at him for a camp, I think getting right back in there is probably the best thing for him. I mean, he didn't know where he was, you know, at the end of the fight. Eddie Hearn said that. He didn't know what punch had hurt him. He asked at the end of the sixth, you know, why do I feel like this after getting instructions? Anthony, you know, I think, as Pepper Roach said, you know, it don't hurt to get knocked out. You don't feel a thing. And I think that's going to serve Anthony Joshua well going forward. There's, you know, he got caught. That fight could have easily extended and been a different fight if he'd have stayed at long range. And that's all his corner was asking him to. Long 1-2s up the middle. This guy throws wide. You don't want to get in close and all of a sudden punches sneak around, you know, hit the top of your head. I mean, and look where he got hit. It wasn't on the chin. It was on the temple by the ear. And high on the head, like there was a left hook
right
that caught him
that ear.
Straight. Yep. Yeah, but also one when he was bending over that caught him straight on top of the head. Andy hit him, tagged him. He also, you know, here's the thing that was underestimated. Andy caught him with a shot leaping in and caught him with a right from several feet out. That's not a move I would expect a man that size to make.
No.
And yet Andy was doing that. And then landing and throwing in combination. He's good with both hands, like turning his hips and just working both hands. Joshua just wasn't prepared to deal with that. And I think with a good long look, they could do a rematch and arguably win.
You know, it's very difficult to prepare for the size and speed that Ruiz brings to the table, you know. And I think that if going back to the drawing board, if they do an immediate rematch, the key thing is to try to nullify the speed of Ruiz by fighting like a tall man and using that jab. I just kind of feel that, you know what, I'm not sure if immediate should be the immediate thing to do. I like to see him go back to the drawing board, build back that confidence, and see where it goes from there. If I was Andy Ruiz, yeah, I'd probably jump on it right away, because no matter what, when you defeat a guy, when a guy gets defeated, it's always going to be that big question. You know, and they say the greats are the ones that can erase that question regardless, you know. But fighters fight with such a confidence that when something like that's not supposed to happen, and let's be honest, that wasn't supposed to happen. That's why they made it such a sweet victory. That's why it made it such an astonishing upset. It wasn't supposed to happen that way, you know, but it did. And I wonder of the effect mentally, how much does it embed into AJ's mind? You want to patch in some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring right now, man, since we're on the topic and our phone lines seem to start piling up over here, Gabriel?
Sure, Javier. I mean, Dave. Hang on one second. 513, you're live on Leave It in the Ring.
How you guys doing? This is Eric from Cincinnati, man. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man, good. That was an amazing fight this weekend, man. I tell you what, I had Joshua all the way on this one, and I couldn't have been more wrong. The one thing I really that struck me, though, is the one judge had Joshua ahead at the time of the stoppage.
Oh, I know.
By one point. I don't understand that. I just, you know, and going back and look at it, and I'm like, well, it happened in the seventh round. It could be 3-3, but at the still, you still got to factor in the knockdowns. And I have no idea what rounds they get, you know, why they gave him those rounds. You know, it was just, it was amazing. And it just kind of led me to believe that if this fight went the distance, it was going to go along the lines of the Katie Taylor Pearson fight, that
right,
was going to be a robbery, you know?
Yeah. And did they score that round correctly as a 10-8? I'd like to talk to a judge, because
I think
two knockdowns.
Did, yeah.
Well, is it, this is why, I mean, I know it's a 10-point must system. So if you get a knockdown, but then get knocked down twice, so you only get 10, and or, you know, the other guy gets 10, and you, it becomes a 10-8,
I know,
you get
two
a point back.
I know two of the judges had it 10-8, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And I think that one judge
did
it.
No, I'm looking at the scorecards. All
okay,
three judges
I'm
had a 10-8. So I'm like, so I don't understand. Like, so he gets a point back for the knockdown? I guess. I don't know. I'll have to consult with it. But yeah, it's kind of a trip. It was, 57, 56, 57, 56, 56, 57, one judge. You know,
and
I mean, it all depends on what kind of fight you thought you were watching, you know, and you value.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not a big fan of, like, valuing a power puncher's punch over a guy, you know, it's clean, effective punching. I guess effective is the wiggle room of that scoring criteria. But, you know, if you're looking at Anthony Joshua as anything he lands, anything he hits, he kills, you know, sure, he was moving a lot and then occasionally landing some flush shots. And Andy's arms would kind of go flying, so it looked like he was really taking some punishment. But Andy was also landing some quality shots, and they seemed to be fighting his fight. But if you thought they were fighting, you know, a pressure fighter's fight, then it was Andy's. If you thought you were fighting a boxer mover's fight, then you thought it was Anthony Joshua, and I think
right,
that's what they
exactly
thought.
Yeah, that could be.
It's so subjective,
you
know?
Yeah, absolutely. And were you guys surprised as I was when he got clipped in the third round, when Ruiz went down in the third round? I mean, he, like, dropped like he got shot, you know? I mean, he looked like he was really rocked, and he got up with no problem. I mean, I was shocked that he was able to get up, and I mean, from that. I mean, because it looked like he didn't see that shot coming, and he just completely dropped.
He didn't see that shot coming. I mean, I was, you know, I wasn't surprised he got up. What I was surprised is how quick he recouped. you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was he got hit, his face, even though he's got a poker face, I was like, okay, all right. I'm like, all right, let's see how he looks when he gets up. Hopefully he doesn't, you know, try to open up and trade. But then he did. You know, he decided, because normally you want to do is you get dropped like that. You want to tie the guy up a little bit, try to walk him back, get some time where the ref can get in between that gives you a little bit of seconds of breather. But he didn't do that. And then the cardinal thing that AJ did as a mistake was he started to open up with a smaller guy in the inside because he thought he had him, you know. And I think just like the way you thought and I did, we were like, Ruiz is hurt, and he's hurt bad. But Ruiz just recouped so quickly. That was the amazing part.
Well, he also got rocked again and then recovered, kind of like okay, he like, adjusted his positioning on the inside. So it shows he's a much more aware fighter than people give him credit for. Really, really, what I always noticed about him, just seeing him as an amateur at the wild card way back in the day, was how calm and collected. Like, he hasn't changed. Like, you see him in interviews, he's very measured, you know, very thoughtful, but there's no highs or lows with him. He's just kind of unblinking. He's just kind of like very confident in his abilities. I watched the fight weird. Dave watched the fight live. I watched it sort of live on the DAZN app, but I was in, had a play going on that I was in, so I had to pause it. You know, I watched the timing. I had two shows, and the timing of it, I watched like the first few rounds, but I had to go do something, and I missed the third round. And I came back, and so my impression of the fight was like, wow, there's not a lot of action going on. I kind of watched it this really weird way. And then I paused it at the sixth round, right at the end of the sixth round, and I went to do my second act scene. And I was in the wings, and there's a guy in the show that had fewer scenes than me, so he'd be on his phone in the wings watching sports, like a total sports fanatic. And I'm waiting to go on, and I look over at him, and I hear him go, and look at me with like wide eyes. And I was like, oh shit, I need to get back to my phone. And so I went out and did my scene, and then, you know, intermission watched and went, and I was like, I must've missed something here. And I went back, and then I saw the third round, and yeah, I was surprised that he got up from that shot. That would have knocked out just about anybody in the division. And he just went right back in. And that's, to me, is just pure Mexican, pure fighter. And he was prepared. He said he had like 15 weeks to prepare for this fight. So he was just ready to go. And I kind of like, nobody expects me to be here. That's got to be in some ways it could either be, oh my God, I didn't have enough time to prepare, you know? But in some ways it's kind of freeing. Nobody expects me to win. I got robbed the last time. I'm probably going to get robbed this time if I go the distance. So let's just go in there and do our thing. I think it showed, you know, you kind of let go and you fight outside yourself.
Well, he did say he had to knock him out, you know?
Yeah.
I have to knock him out. You know,
he also said that he wouldn't give him the respect that everybody else did, and he didn't.
Oh no, he didn't. He didn't. Eric, thanks for calling in, man. We're gonna let another caller on. Okay, thanks again.
All right, man. Thank you. All right, bye.
Peace. Let's go 510. It's the other longest caller on the queue. You're live on Leave It in the Ring.
Hey Gabe. Hey Dave. This man over here in Richmond. How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Good. Oh my God, man.
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm like, you know, I'm still on cloud nine about it. I gotta be honest.
Are you in Taco Heaven?
I am in Taco Heaven. That's hilarious.
Hell yeah. Dude, Jesus.
My family has like a bunch of big boys look just like me. I look at like Andy, man. My cousin, he was calling me because, man, I'm so excited, man. I think I watched the fight like six times already, man. We're just like so happy and proud of Andy. And
right.
Yeah, man. You know, like, I hope, like, because I know they're talking about going back to England with this fight. And respect to Anthony Joshua also, too, man. Great champion. I'm still a big fan of his. And
right.
A lot of respect to Anthony Joshua. The way he acted after the fight, too, man. Classy, man. Classy dude. A lot of heart, man. I got a lot of respect for Anthony Joshua, man. No disrespect
to
him at all.
You know, people gave him crap for that. You know, like, you know. It's like that Vince Lombardi mentality. Show me somebody who doesn't mind losing, I'll show you a loser. The guy's a multimillionaire at this point. He's become one of the biggest stars in the sport. It happens. Sometimes, you know, life has a way of humbling you and be like, dude, this is all happening a little easier than it should. Let's give you some adversity. Maybe you're taking it for granted. You just think, you know, all I got to do is hit a dude, get him out of there. Look at this fat boy. I think it's just poetic justice that it was a Mexican dude, but that it was a fat Mexican dude, like the polar opposite physically of Anthony Joshua. And people forget, you know, these aren't – Andy's kind of brought it back into the normal size of heavyweights. You know, the 260 is pretty big, but 6'3", that's a normal heavyweight. You
know,
a more efficient machine. 6'6",
there was a lot of,
I don't know if that's, you know, ready to do that.
There was a lot of pasole power there, I tell you that.
Hey man, I'm 6'1" and 260 pounds, man. So I know the struggle, man. Struggle is real, man. And
he struck a blow for big Mexicans everywhere. That's
I was
for
gonna
sure.
say that's
yeah,
a big. Dude. You're a big ass Mexicano, bro. Because the average is like 5'8", 5'9". You know, I'm 5'9". So
yeah, dude. Our family's like not everybody. We're all coming different sizes. I'm one of the bigger ones, but we're all kind of like. Because I remember telling my cousin Seth that he wanted to, you know, he was like, oh no. My family, we all love boxing, but nobody kind of nerds out like I do on it. You know what I mean? So, like,
right.
The fight coming up, we'll talk about it. They all got the zone and everything. And my cousin's like, hey, so what's up with this Andy Ruiz guy? You know, he doesn't really follow it. I go, oh, he looks like Eric, our cousin. Oh, all right, cool. And, you know, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, dude. And my cousin, he had to take my aunt to the airport, so he got home just as, like, the third round was popping off. He said he was, like, took off all his clothes, got on his calzones only, his underwear. He was like shadow boxing,
right.
Like he was a little kid during the fight, man. He was just so pumped up. Like, I don't know, man. I just never been,
that's
I
hilarious.
Getting back to what I was saying, like, I know they want to send it back to England, and I respect that. But reality, dude, a Mexican heavyweight champ, they got to put that
right.
in Vegas, man. If they want to make as much money as they can, dude. They need.
Absolutely.
I respect Anthony Joshua, but that's where the money is.
You know, and for people to say that, well, we still have to see whether or not having a Mexican heavyweight is marketable. It's pretty fucking foolish to say that. I mean, come on.
Dude,
I mean,
it's so marketable that Triple G pretty much pretended to be a Mexican
exactly,
for a lot of his career. It's pretty marketable. Put that dude in L.A., Staples Center or Dodger Stadium. Oh, my God.
Even if this is his one shot, and let's just say, because most folks are already kind of predicting his next move is that he's not going to keep the titles. It's going to be short-lived. Even if that is the case, dude, what a great fucking movie Andy Ruiz's life is going to be on the screen, you know? And I have to tell you this. I don't think he's a one-hit wonder. You know, we all knew that Andy could fight. The people that seem surprised at how well Andy could fight were the ones that were sitting back saying, "Who is this guy? Where'd this guy come from?" You know.
What do you call the movie? Blocky?
I'm not. No, you know what? Yeah, let me tell
anyone,
you something.
Anyone?
Come on.
Come on.
That
was
that's
pretty
cold,
good.
Man. What's up with that, Gabe? You all can't be skinny, man. Jeez, bro.
No,
I'm just kidding. Nah, come on.
I would call it pozole and boxing.
Pozole and boxing.
Pozole, a tale of love and boxing, man. You know.
There you go, brother. You know.
Yeah,
hey, but you know what? They call him the Mexican Rocky. Come on, look at Rocky, the Rocky movies.
Rocky was a club fighter.
He was a club fighter. The guy.
Andy
was
Ruiz is no
anything.
Club fighter.
Exactly. It's stupid to call him Rocky. Mexican
and you know
Rocky.
What?
No.
Let's get into this right
that.
Now. This is not Buster Douglas versus Mike Tyson.
No,
because Buster
not.
Douglas was branded as a quitter when he could have
exactly.
had a piece of the heavyweight crown, whereas Andy Ruiz was robbed and should have had a piece of the heavyweight crown, but he was robbed in New Zealand. So arguably, you know, I thought he was.
I call him the Mexican Rocky because, like, in the movie, right, remember, like, they couldn't find an opponent, right? So they got down to, like, the fifth choice, and they ended up being, like, who they thought was the most marketable, at least, and it was Rocky, right, because he was Italian. The same thing with Andy. He was, like, the fifth choice, man. And after everything's said and done, he's a huge inspiration to us, man. Like, I'm serious. I worked in two different spots today in San Francisco, right? And all the Mexicans, all the Mexicanos, that's all they were talking about was the fight. Dude, how
all
nice
of them,
they were,
dude.
Man. How
yeah.
proud they were
dude,
of him, man.
My
yep.
car needed a jump for some reason. My battery died overnight. This morning, I, you know, called roadside assistance. Mexican, you know, tow truck driver comes and we're working on the car and getting it ready. And I'm like, you see the fight? He's like, oh, yeah, dude. We just start talking about the fight. We're, like, all excited. And he's coming with his facts about the fight. You know, they're calling it one of the greatest upsets of all time and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I was just so proud, dude, just so happy. Like, right after the fight, I went to the bar, and there was a company member of the theater company that came, and he's a Mexican dude. and hadn't seen the fight yet, but it's like, don't tell me. You know, I know who won and everything, but I want to watch it and enjoy moment to moment. Like, I don't know any details, but you know, we were just all stoked, like at the, you know, the closing night party, and just like I said, it just feels like we're now in a club that we hadn't been in before, and I didn't realize what that would feel like. You know, that Mexico, like, I didn't even think about that. There's gonna be someday an Andy Ruiz Jr. movie. There's just no question.
There's no question. It has to be, dude.
There's no fucking question, because he made history.
Yep. Yep, he made it.
You know?
And he didn't just take a belt. He didn't just take a belt. He took the main guy at heavyweight, right? This wasn't like John Ruiz, you know, the Puerto Rican dude that got like a belt off some value wave, I think it was, right? This was Andy Ruiz taking the belt off the main guy. That's why I'm so, like, I'm bursting with pride right now. I can't believe it.
He took it off the guy that who everybody, like, you know, you could say, you know, Fury's the lineal. Wilder's got the most defenses, but. And he's got, like Dave says correctly, he's the most exciting heavyweight in the game. Like, he seems the most dangerous. But Joshua was the De La Hoya. He was the guy that everybody, and the Canelo, he was the guy that everybody wanted to fight. He had the belt. He beat Klitschko in a way that everybody respected more than the way Fury beat Klitschko. People seem to forget that, how much Fury stunk the joint out against an old Klitschko, whereas Joshua went to him and stopped him after getting dropped. You know, and he was battle-tested. He beat a regional foe in Dillian White, got rocked to come back and stop the dude. You know, Joshua is the real deal. He's not fake. All these other guys don't get credit for beating him. They didn't. They didn't fight him. They just denigrate him. You know, and he's now 22-1, 21 KOs, and it's Andy that did it. And it's just great. I guess you call it the Destroyer, right? Yeah, that's his nickname.
Right.
Man, I love all the heavyweights. I love, you know, Deontay. I love them all, man. Like, I got a lot of respect for all of them, man. But like you said, Gabe, they all turned it down, man. Deontay turned down $120 million, guaranteed.
Well, if you need work done on a short notice, you call a Mexican, you know? And
yeah.
In this case, a Mexican called them. He DM'd Eddie Hearn on Instagram and said, I want that shit. And, you know, how much are you going to be kicking yourself knowing that he made $6.5 million, is now the holder of three of the, you know, heavyweight straps, and you were like, I want 10, though. Like, how much you got to be killing yourself, you know? Dude, you either believe in yourself or you don't in this game. You're either ready for the moment or you're not. That's just it.
How does Ortiz
and,
feel?
Evan Rakowski and his podcast broke it down. Dude, how many pay-per-view buys it would take to even get to that amount? It'd be like 2 million pay-per-view buys per fight to get to that kind of money.
Yeah,
right?
Are you
that's
telling me?
Happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 5 million with some upside or 3 million with some upside. Yeah, and I'm in shape right now, and he hasn't fought since September of last year. Let's do it. You know, I mean, like, you'd have to turn in your Mexican card if you didn't do it. But in some ways, like, your fighter card. You know, you don't know where everybody is, but kudos to Andy for being in shape and ready. It's a year-round sport. That's why we're always talking about year-round testing, because it's a year-round sport if treated with respect.
You know, the only thing is, look, at the end of the day, the fighters that didn't take the short notice call, like Ortiz, you know, the thing is that Andy Ruiz gambled and he won. He won the bet. He gambled it and he was right about it, you know. And that's the thing about boxing. Like I said, you know, it's a hit or miss. We really don't know, and that's why we watch it, you know. And to get upset that this kid got in there with short notice, not having this, you know, Amadeus physique and you know, being the wild card that he is, it's ridiculous. And now, if you got all the let me say this. If you got all the heavyweights together and you just throw them in there one by one, none of them, I think every one of them on the better night beat each other. I still think that Andy could lose to Dante Wilder. I still think that Ruiz, Ruiz can beat Dante Wilder, because those are the kind of fights right now that we have in the heavyweight division. Every one of them have an aspect of them that they bring to the table that can change a fight. AJ's,
you know,
not
would be
out
a tough,
of the picture yet.
The toughest guy for I mean, I think Wilder and Fury are very tough fights. Usyk is also a tough fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's a very tough fight for Andy. You know, and we saw that with Joseph Parker. You know, when he reverted to being a boxer, it was kind of hard for Andy to catch up with him. I thought Andy pulled it off, but we did kind of see where Andy might have a bit of a problem with. If you box him, you know, engage with him, we see that he can come out of there victorious. I mean, I love the whole mix and match in this boxing, in the heavyweight division at this moment. You know, the one thing that you always used to hear a couple years back to all the way when Mike Tyson kind of just, you know, fizzled out is, well, boxing's never going to be the water cooler of conversations anymore because the heavyweights ain't there. Guess what? It's back. You know, and it ain't water coolers that everybody's going to talk about. There's going to be a plenty of Modelos and Tecate to talk about.
And to be honest with you, I'm never going to care who loves boxing. I love boxing. My family loves boxing. My friends love boxing. I don't really care who else loves it, you know, to be honest, you know. We've always supported it. You know, the Mexicans have always supported it. And that's another thing, man. People better recognize. I know it might not last forever, right? He might lose the next couple times or whatever. But right now, Andy Ruiz has to be respected as an A-side, equal to Deontay, equal to Tyson, and equal to AJ. For one thing, man, he's the first Mexican heavyweight champ, you know. He's going to get supported a lot. That's a big time, dude. Like, me and my cousin were talking today, man. We're just excited. We're talking at work. That if it's in Las Vegas, dude, we're going to show up in Guayabera with no T-shirts on underneath, unbuttoned, with gold chains, man, our belly hanging out, man. The whole weekend.
Taking shots, man.
That's
it, bro.
Taking
shots
like 1972, man. Yeah, we're going to party like 1972, man.
You got to, right, like, copy shots.
Shirt completely unbuttoned, man. Just
how many shots
there,
taken? How many shots kept down?
There you go.
We're really proud of him, man. And another thing, too, one last thing, I know you got a lot of callers. The whole zone card was awesome, man. It was loaded.
I had
a great time watching every fight. You know, from the Algerian fight, the ladies' fight was great. The one with Robinson was good. And then Callum Smith fight was really good. I had a great time, man. It was a great card. Man.
I wasn't crazy about the Callum Smith fight. I just thought, what a freaking mismatch. Like, Hassan Endam was chinny at 160. Like, you know, and he just looks so small versus Callum Smith. I was like, oh, this is at least it's going to be short. And it was. But,
I was impressed
by
the female fight.
It just makes a fight with potential fight with Canelo that much more interesting. Like, honestly, dude, I would rather see Canelo fight Callum in England in September, you know, like I've seen the Triple G fight again, man. Like I would love to see Canelo do something special like that because I don't think any Mexican champs ever gone to Europe, you know, that I know of, that I could think of, you know, and that would be great, man. You know,
but
so, anyway.
But can Callum make 166?
The Canelo win?
Early prediction.
You got to go there.
I don't have to go there. Callum's gonna have to go there.
It's all good. Thank you for taking my phone call. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Fernando.
Really proud
of
everybody, man. Thank you very much. Bye.
166 in your belt, dude. Let's go to 619. You're live on Leave It in the Ring.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Juan.
What's up, man?
Juan.
How you doing, guys?
How's it feel, Juan?
Oh my God. I was like tweeted the other day, and it was so exciting. I never thought I would feel this way, like with a fight like that. I don't know. I never even crossed my mind.
Got emotional. Got emotional.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I haven't felt this way.
I
don't remember that. Like, I don't remember what fight I've ever got this exciting. I remember a fight that I was very excited because I was there. Was Margarito Cotto, but I was there. You know, I was there. I was drunk. I was, you know, drinking, jumping up and down. But this one was totally different. We were at my house. We had a birthday party that we're going to go, and I knew the fight was on. I'm going to watch it on my phone. But then it turned out that the party wasn't a different day. I just thought it was that day. And, we get to watch the fight. My wife said, let's go out for a walk. Let me watch the fight. I don't think it's going to last more than 3 or 4 rounds. I think it's going to be a quick fight. And then we can go out for a walk. So, okay. So we started watching the fight. She's like, man, this guy's like, he's very fat. Like, yeah, I know, but this guy can fight. It's not going to be easy for as long as it lasts. He's a good fighter. You'll see. And we're watching the first couple of rounds, and my wife was uninterested, went upstairs, and then she came down, and I was already, like, the third round was done, and I was just, like, my heart was beating, but, like, what happened? He dropped him, and I was like, what happened? And she sits down, And then the rest of the fight, she's just standing up, like jumping up and down. And my heart was pounding. When we stopped, I was like, holy! We were just like jumping. Just like he was jumping in the middle of the ring, we were jumping like that. I don't remember ever feeling this way. And I was listen, I don't know if you guys have listened to the Mexican broadcast in TV Azteca, which I happened to listen later because I wanted to hear, because Chavez is in the is one of the commentators. He gets really excited. Oh my God, that if you listen to that, dude, that gets you even more pumped, dude. The guy was screaming every single punch. And when the fight ends, he was just like, I'm crying. This moment is the best moment ever in boxing. Chavez was saying that. So imagine the greatest Mexican. Chavez was saying this. This is the biggest accomplishment for a Mexican boxer ever. He was saying that's what he was saying. So I was talking to my brother about that specific topic. Like, how does this accomplishment rank? And I told him this has to be the biggest. Single accomplishment, single fight, because it's the heavyweight championship of the world, being the number one guy for three titles. There's no question about it. It's like, I try to put it in perspective. I said, it's like winning the World Cup. Every other title in every other division is the Golden Cup, the Libertadores, you know, it's their championships, but they're not the main one. This is the main title in boxing, and everybody knows that. If you do this, we haven't done this in 100 years. And I was looking at Andy and I was thinking, this is the belt that Muhammad Ali had, Tyson had, Joe Lewis. Now he has.
You know that. You know that. You see that pose that Andy did in one of the pictures thrown out where he's like posing, where he's sticking out his chest and his hands are at his waist. He looks like a fucking superhero, right?
Yeah.
And I was looking at that and I go, they just released that stupid ass El Chicano. A superhero movie that nobody's watched, you know, when in reality, we just got a goddamn superhero that happened this Saturday. Yeah. Andy Ruiz, man. Yeah. And that's why it was so exciting because, you know, like I said earlier on the show, and I told this to Gable a long time ago, I told Gable, I go, I don't think we're ever going to see a Mexican heavyweight in our lifetime. I don't think it's going to happen. And to see that happen on Saturday, man, that's why I said I lost my voice because – So much emotion came over that, you know. One of the biggest emotions that came for me is that my uncle and my grandfather weren't here to see it, because my grandpa, you know, when you hear Julio Cesar Chavez when he commentates and he gets into it and starts yelling, that was my grandfather, you know, getting into it, yelling it, throw another punch. You know, that was my grandpa, all the way, and I watched it by myself, but I tell you what. Mm-hmm. All my neighbors, bro, porque son güeros. All my neighbors are güeros. I tell you, they know. Yeah. They now, if they didn't know I was a boxing fan, Saturday night, they knew. Because everybody, my kids, like everybody, my old lady, like, what the hell is going on? What's wrong with you? And I'm telling her, he did it. He did it. I can't believe it. He did it.
Mm-hmm. It was, And now a lot of things, you know, have been said over the weekend from various, you know, people, like all the bullshit that Stephen A. Smith was saying, that was like, that was this great, like, disgusting. And I'm glad,
disgusting, bro.
I'm glad Canelo responded to that. And you guys know I'm not the biggest Canelo fan, but I love what he responded. He just replied to him, told him, this shows how ignorant you are, like what you're saying. And calling him Butterbean and a fatso and all those things he was saying on ESPN. That's like, come on, dude. Somebody needs to shut this guy up.
Well,
and
you know
the guy's there to be.
Right.
Go
ahead. Let me tell you this. If there's one thing about our raza, is that we could take a joke. Like, you know, if you grew up in a Mexican home, we could take a joke because that's just the way we are. You know, you can make fun of us and we'll laugh about it, but we know there's a difference between a joke and you really taking a jab at us. And that the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, you aren't jabbing a joke. You're taking a real jab at one of our people, you know? And that's why when, you know, Gable called me today, I told him, you know, it's sad to see that there's still a certain type of racism that folks don't want to call out. And that's a little bit of racism that those guys have. towards our people.
Yes, it is.
Why can't you be happy? Why couldn't you be happy that a Mexican American won? Why is it so? He said, "Well, I'm just saying because now we're not going to see everybody want to see AJ versus Wilder." Who the fuck is everybody? We just saw a great fight. Why can't you say this was a great goddamn fight?
Well, if you think about this, when George Foreman destroyed Joe Frazier, when he destroyed him in two rounds. He destroyed the rematch between Frazier and Ali. The fight everybody wanted to see, but guess what? A new guy came into the picture, and now everything was more interesting. Now, Andy Ruiz, if Stephen A. Smith was smart, because he isn't, he would just say, oh my God, now we have another player, and this guy,
right.
Like, he's a threat to any of those guys, because he is. Like, if you think about it.
And also, the largest group to be marketed to in the country. Fastest growing
exactly.
demographic there is. This is also the year of Julian Castro announcing his, you know, a Mexican American with roots, you know, at both sides of the border is running for president. So it's like the first Mexican American dude that's in, you know, that's run for president before. He's been in the cabinet. Like, this is, you know, it could be the year of the Mexican, this next year. And so, you know, Andy Ruiz should be celebrated, not denigrated. Even Al Bernstein, who's usually, you know, he's honest, but he doesn't take shots at the media, like tweeted out just like 10 minutes ago about he's, you know, just shocked and kind of embarrassed by the takes.
The other guy that I think said something stupid was Kevin Ayala. I think he was saying that they can't consider him a Mexican. Like, well, if you can't consider Andy Ruiz a Mexican, why is Antonio Margarito?
He said,
he was born in Chula Vista.
Yeah.
So, what the hell? So it's ridiculous. The guy represented, and I just tweeted this, represented Baja in the Nationals, and he's wearing the exact same uniform my wife wore when she went to the Nationals in judoka. So she was saying, "Oh, look at that! The guy wears the same uniform I wore." And then we were just like, "I'm a big fan now." She was saying, "I'm a fan of this guy," and the guy is as Mexican as anybody. And as I told my cousin, if he says in his heart he's a Mexican, he is. His parents are.
Absolutely.
He's going to Mexicali. The dude went to Mexicali to train. That's where he did that, Imperial Valley. So,
you know,
dude,
and these guys that are so – I'll just say this on air, and, I try not to – I don't really give a shit. Michael Woods also said something stupid. And so I tweeted at him, I think I'll call him, American of Mexican descent. And I tweeted at him, "You don't get to decide. He's blocked me, you know. He had Evan Rakowski on his show, who's on our network, who started his show, Fistianados, on our network. Dave designed the artwork, did his whole, intro. And when Evan was on that show, when he plugged the fact that he was on Leave It in the Ring, he cut it out of the audio. That's how petty this motherfucker is.
Yeah.
And so,
man,
you don't get to define Andy. Mexican-Americans have been in this country longer than most everybody else has. We helped settle the country.
Exactly.
California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, as well as parts of Wyoming, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Kansas, were Mexico before President James J. Polk falsely accused us, according to Abraham Lincoln and the record, of shedding American blood on U.S. soil. And they started one of their wars based on lies, which is the U.S.-Mexico War. These guys are just soft that cover the spark. Be able to take some freaking criticism, dude. That guy's always been pretty fragile. But Michael Woods, why should I care what you think? If you can't hang like that. You gotta block me for criticizing you? But it doesn't change the fact that you don't get to decide what Andy is. I don't know about you, but my dad's side of the family, we didn't jump the border. The border jumped us. And I've always found it ridiculous that Americans don't have and Mexicans don't have the dual citizenship or something worked out in that regard. Because most of it doesn't make us any less America. It just means we honor our roots, which most people that came here after us Mexicans are allowed to do for some reason, but we're not.
And finally, the other thing, I just want to close it out with this. All those guys saying all that BS, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What happened in the ring already happened. It doesn't.
Yep.
The guy beat the shit out of that guy. And that's it.
Yep.
And Joshua, who was a class act, said, "Hey, it doesn't matter. He beat me. There's no excuses. I trained
properly.
Beautiful
human being, man.
I'm not going to say anything. It is what it is. We'll move on, and that's it. You see Wilder saying, this guy, he was nothing. He was always nothing. Yeah, but guess what? You don't have that win in your record, and you'll never have it.
Yep.
Even if you beat him later, it doesn't matter because he came to him first, and he is the one who has that victory now in his record. And that's it. You know why? Because he's greedy.
I don't blame Wilder for his tweet, you know, because I'm going to tell you why. All these guys, Fury, Wilder, and even AJ, they were all trying to play chess on a board of business. Andy went out there and played checkers.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And
that's the bottom line.
I think we talked about this before. Like, most of the talk shows talked about this. One of those guys is going to get beat, and all the party's going to go down. And that's what happened. But again, it doesn't matter. In the end, I think this is good because this is going to open up the fight. This is going to, like Larry Mercer said, fights make fights. And this is going to open up other fights. There's no guarantee why they
didn't.
There's no guarantee that he's going to. Yes, go ahead.
Hagler, Hearns, Leonard, Duran, the four horsemen, they all lost with each other. Did it stop the train to keep from moving? No. You know, you put up good fights, people still come. You know, it's not the end of the story for AJ. That's what I find so stupid when I see people like, oh, it's over. The Wilder and AJ fight's not going to be what it was supposed to be. How do you know?
It can be.
It can.
It can be even bigger.
Exactly.
If the guy comes back and he looks great doing it, why not?
Well, and what happens if Ortiz wins the rematch with Wilder? And the story changes even further.
Yep.
No, this is
it's boxing.
A great time.
I've always said that super fights, super fights happen. Not so super fights, they get derailed. Juan Magamboa. Oh my God, Bob Arum. He marinated it too long. Maybe they weren't that good, ultimately, and that matchmaking took them so far, and then they got in tough fights and lost, and maybe that was their careers, and it wasn't
totally
such a super
agree.
Fight. I wasn't big on either of those guys, so maybe that's just me.
All these four guys, Fury, Wilder, Joshua, and Garcia, and Ruiz, all four of them have great personalities. They have a good styles. They are they have a fan base. This is better for the sport. Like if Andy brings in the Mexican fan base and if they back him up, now we're gonna have some big crowds on the fights. Like if Wilder fights Ruiz, he's on the PBC, so those fights can be made. So if those fights happen, dude, there's going to be people lining up to watch those fights live. And everybody's going to tune in. Trust me. I will, for sure. And I like Wilder as a fighter. I like Joshua. I like Fury. And I like Ruiz for different reasons. So I'm a boxing fan, and I love what's happening with the heavyweights. And if this continues, the sport's going to be good because everybody's asking what's going on. Everybody. All my friends, all my white friends who don't watch the sport always tell me Monday, did you watch the fight? That's their question Monday morning. Did you watch the fight? Because they're watching ESPN. They're seeing the highlights, and it's everywhere because it's good. Because it's good right now.
Yep.
That's all I got, guys. I wanted to just give my two cents. Very exciting times.
Yeah, there's no way we weren't going to do a show today. It's history,
Yeah.
We experienced history, and it's really quite something, man. I'm just like, like you said, I never thought I would feel this way. I'm usually a guy that takes all the nationalism out of it. My favorite fighter is a Puerto Rican. There's Mexicans in top five, but Tito is the guy that I had that connection with. I'm not saying I have the same thing with Andy, but I mean, I knew the guy. I saw him well before he was a pro in the gym, spoke with him just casually on many occasions. We've interviewed him on this show, I think a couple times. And it's just great to see. But it hit me as a Mexican American. It is annoying to see these guys. Ironically, it's two guys that have me blocked, Kevin Ioli and Michael Woods. But other guys like Stephen A. Smith, who at least observes the punishment. He doesn't respond. But he's gotten ratioed for his take on this. He's dead wrong. You're making fun of the guy. You don't know him. You obviously don't know his history coming into the fight. You would have given him more of a chance if you knew that he arguably beat Joseph Parker, a guy who was taller and a mover, and that he'd beat Demetrenko, who was, now kind of a warhorse, but on the tail end of it. But still, a guy that was heralded as maybe the next Klitschko and has a lot of, world-class experience. So you know, good stuff. And good to hear from you, man. I appreciate you calling in.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Let's do this one more, Dave. 812, you're live on Leaving in the Ring.
Hey, what's going on, Gabe and Dave, man? This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
You went to the fight, huh?
Yeah, sorry, I had to call, man. I'm actually driving back. Sorry, my voice is gone, man. I just driving back from LaGuardia.
That's going around.
Yeah.
Joe went to the fight.
I went, dude. Unbelievable experience. I've been to many sporting events, many fights, but I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that in my life, dude. Like, I literally went that third round when Ruiz went down, and he caught up, and he came back and put him down twice, man. Like, I ran up the aisle, dude. I was so hyped. Like, it was something I've never experienced, it, man. I was just excited I was a part of that moment. I'm so happy for him, dude. Like, it keep popped up in my head, like, when he won, and he was just jumping around in the ring with his hands up, and then his trainer came in and hugged him and his dad. Like, that's something I don't think I'm ever going to forget. Like, that was just an amazing moment. And I'm happy for, you know, the Mexican culture. It just means so much, man. I mean, this is something, like, I feel like boxing is a great story. And I'm glad that people are writing. I saw that it was a front page of the LA Times, I believe.
Right.
But I'm just glad, man. This is amazing. This is amazing.
You know what makes this story even greater is that Andy did it at a time where, you know, Mexicans have been targeted. It's not the first time we've been targeted, but you know, what a sitting president that has targeted Mexico and put his fear into anyone that's not a brown American, you know, by putting the finger on us Mexican folks, that it was such a great feeling to see Andy do this and add to this story of what's been going on in the U.S. Times, you know. So
yeah.
it was a sweet moment just because
we needed a win, man.
Yeah.
We needed a big win like this.
We needed,
you know,
a big win like this, yeah. And it was history in the making. It was something that's going to be part of American history, whether they like it or not. It's there.
Yeah.
You know? And you could, you know, I see so many Muhammad Ali documentaries made and stuff. You can make a movie about Andy Ruiz, because here's a kid that wasn't supposed to be in the heavyweight division, didn't have the physique. I told Gabriel earlier today, he's the Bambino of boxing. Doesn't look the part, but is the part. And you can make a documentary behind this kid, his parents, you know, coming from Mexico, this kid training, this kid not having the physique of a heavyweight, fighting in the times where Mexican people are being told not to come to this country anymore, that you're ruining this country. You're taking away jobs. You're disvaluing our market and jobs. And to see him do this, man, it was like a sweet feeling, because in a lot of ways it was like, you see, fuckers, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, guys. Like, this, it's just what a moment, like an experience. And like, I'm just so proud. I'm happy for him, man. Like, and you know, what else was cool, guys? Like, after the fight, man, like, I swear, I think that arena at the Garden, I think it was it had to be at least 90% fans from the UK there, man. I mean, but they cheered for him, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were like, man, good job, and they weren't booing him. And it could have went the other way, you know. So hats off to the people from the UK for showing love. But man, this is about Andy, and it's just happy for him, man. Like, it's just like,
How was the atmosphere after? Like, what, you know, let's say 2 hours after the clearing
It was the same. I stayed out. I was, you know, New York City never sleeps, man. So I'm going to different pubs and different taverns, and that's all everybody's talking about. And if they weren't talking about it, I'd bring it up. That was my conversation starter. Did you see the fight? Did you hear about the fight? Everywhere, even if I was at the Yankees game yesterday, man, I only watched the first three innings, and then I went to the bar, and I started talking about the fight the whole night.
That's great.
And this one lady is like, who? I said, just go to Google right now. And she Googled, and she said, was this the fight you're talking about? I said, yes, and I'm just educating people about the fight. Like, man, this is history right here. This never happened before. And
right.
I was just like, wow, it seemed like you had a good time. I said, man, this just means so much for just the meaning of, like, the meaning that he has, like, in life in general for anybody, especially for the Mexican culture. Like, you give it an opportunity, you know, you take advantage of it and just be prepared. Andy was prepared for this, man. He didn't.
Oh, yeah.
That third round, he could just, like, you know what, F this, man. You know, I was only trained for 5 weeks. I got my money. He got up, dude. Joshua hit him hard. He got up and put him down twice. I mean, that never happened.
He took tough shots after that, too. Just straight right hand
yeah.
to the face. And just kept moving. You know?
God, I can't happen, too. Andrew said they're going to have a parade for him, too, man. That's going to be awesome, man. I'm just happy for the guy, man. It's real.
You know, I got to give it to AJ, too, because he was gassed out. And he was digging deep, man. He really was.
Yeah.
But you could see it in his face. Like, he was just like, I don't have nothing left anymore. Like, I don't have anything left anymore, you know. And he just had a game guy that still the engine was going. You know, that story of the little boat that could, you know, that was Andy.
Yeah. And, man, you know what's
trained,
crazy, too?
Yeah.
I never thought
trained,
Andy
yeah, you're right,
was
trained.
Close to the body shots. And Andy was hitting the body shots hard. If you look at the slow
oh, yeah.
the replay, the slow most dude, those body shots were – that had to take the steam out of him, man. I mean, I think before the last knockdown, he had nailed some nasty body shots, man. I was like, damn. But, man, guys, I'm about to lose my voice. I just wanted to check in, man. I had a great time there. But, dude, this is a big moment for the culture and for Andy. Congratulations, man. Hope you guys can get him on the show, man. And
we're going to try our hardest, brother.
Out here in Indiana.
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
we'll
it.
See.
All right, guys. Take care now.
Peace. Well, there's another 209. We'll keep it rolling. 209, you're live on Leave It in the Ring.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up? Doing well.
Hi, guys. Oh, man. Okay, well, gee, I don't know what to talk about.
Gee, was there any big fights that happened last weekend? Or did you catch anything? I don't know.
Yeah. Man, I was speechless. Check this out. In April, I saw a post by Andy that he had T-shirts for sale, right? So so I sent him a message. Hey, man, you know, do you carry gordito sizes? And he did. So I bought him a T-shirt. Right? Hey, I ain't gonna lie, dude.
Right, right.
I mean, hey, I can relate to the guy. I trained.
He would.
So I can lose weight. So I can stay fit. I mean, I can relate to the guy. You know, I'm so happy for him. So, you know, I've been wearing his T-shirt. Okay, Saturday for the fight, you know, I said, hey, man, you know, I'm gonna wear this guy's T-shirt. You know, because he was fighting. So I wore his T-shirt. I'm watching the fight. And after it happened, I'm like, I can't believe it. You know, did I just see this? You know, is this for real? I'm like, oh, shit. And then it dawns on me, wait a minute. I'm probably the only guy in Stockton that bought this guy's T-shirt, you know? So I'm like, oh, shit. And then the next thing I told my lady was, hey, baby, check this out. I have the body of a heavyweight champion, man.
Champion of the world.
I have the body of a heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
And that's part of, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to this guy. You know,
right.
I mean – you know, he's like the people's champion, I guess, man, because, you know, that's the best way I could put it.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm glad he's the first Mexican heavyweight, but at that time, you know, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking, like, you know what? This guy took advantage of one hell of an opportunity that was given to him. He took it, and he seized the moment. I mean, that is a good story in itself.
I don't think anybody was thinking about him being the first Mexican heavyweight. To tell you the truth, you know what I went in thinking was, I hope Andy gives him a hell of a fight. That's what I was thinking. I hope Andy at least gives AJ a hell of a fight. You know what I mean? So that
yeah.
You know, and that's it. That's what I was looking at. You know, I sat there, bro. Check it out. Right up like a mile away from my house, there's strawberry pickings. and a little cherry stand, right? So I bought a big old basket of cherries, came to the house, turned on the fights, had this big bowl of cherries, and that's what I watched the fight, you know? And I was just sitting there, just relaxing. I was like, ah, I'm not going to have any beers, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to watch this, and that's it. Because I thought it was going to be some good rounds, and then that was it. And then when he gets dropped, I'm like, fuck. Come on, Andy, just make it a little longer. Because I was by myself.
You know what I mean? The same thing. Like, come on, man.
Just make it a little longer, bro. And then he drops him, dude. And I fucking literally choked on the cherries I had that had popped in my mouth. I was like, holy, what the fuck? Like, holy shit. You know?
I can't believe you here.
You know what I mean? And the only ones that were yelling was me and the fucking rooster outside, bro. The rooster next door. We're the only two yelling and shit, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't. I had two more acts to go. I was like, I couldn't, you know, it just propelled me the rest of the play. And it's kind of it's a weird thing when you do like a bunch of the same show, like, you know, I was in my like fifth week. You start to kind of find ways to like forget that you're about to do it, and it kind of makes it fresh. And this was like, back, like, holy shit, heavyweight champion. And then boom, I'd like go on stage and do my thing. And it was just, it was awesome, dude. It just carried into the rest of the night. Like, we all just partied. And like I said, like the only other Mexican dude at the theater was like, we were sitting next to each other and just stoked, you know, in like a way that like the previous caller said, like that we didn't know was possible, you know, that now we're a part of that history, you know? It's like right now, if you said like, you know, a guy the size of Rocky Marciano would be the only undefeated heavyweight champion, you know, in history, like his size and everything, like it doesn't fit in, like, you know, Italians may not get another shot at it for a long time. So like, I felt like Mexicans had about as much of a shot as an Italian dude to do it again. But right. We just don't get that big, you know, and here it was, you know, a guy that got that big, but you know, we just kind of dismissed him because of his size. I mean, I didn't really dismiss him because of the size. I didn't think that his footwork, was going to be quick enough to get him on the inside. And I was wrong about that. He was explosive. The second knockdown, that was totally unexpected. When Joshua got to the ropes and he like jumped in, like, dude, like who would have called that? You know, unbelievable.
Yep.
You know what? I went to the Fresno card, you know, I live here in Stockton. So I went to the Fresno card. When the challenger for Ramirez, I guess, didn't make way to where he went to the hospital. And so pretty much the card was shot, but still, I was still looking forward to it. And I was looking forward to it because I wanted to see Andy Ruiz fight. And he was on the card. And one of the things right where I was sitting at, you know, we're sitting in the front, but we're sitting kind of like far away, but we're sitting on the front row. One of the things that I took from it, one, he was explosive. He had fast hands. And one of the things that I still remember is when he was hitting the guy, you could literally see the sweat off the guy fly off. I mean, after punch, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that sweat from the other dude, man, just kept flying off. And I was like, I mean, you could see it like in the sky. I was like, whoa, man. You know, this guy's pretty quick for being a big guy. You know, I thought he was pretty quick. But you know, I think he was out. I think he was inactive after that. You know, I guess he had that thing with his promoter or whatever. But now that he's a champion, how active do you think he'll be? I mean, obviously his next fight's going to be Joshua. And then after that, he'll probably fight a couple more times, whatever. Do you think he'll still be active?
I think he'll be PBC active. I don't know. You know, is he – he's with Al. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what they want to do with him. I mean, that's – it's a pretty marketable, you know, commodity, the Mexican heavyweight champion of the world. If he's able to get through Joshua again, he's going to be a huge star. He's going to be bona fide at that point. I think. He's bona fide at this point, you know, but in the eyes of casuals, or maybe they'll just think, oh, Joshua is just not that good, and Joshua's going to have to make that win gain for Andy over the years by having a better career going forward. I think he'll do one for him after this if he gets through Joshua, and then we'll see, you know, Wilder will be 35 by then, maybe 34. He's like 33 now. So I think by the time they get around to fighting, Wilder will be only older and have gone through, if he beats Ortiz, you know, he's going to fight Fury. So, you know, he's going to be in, they've already signed up to fight Wilder and Fury sometime in the first part of 2020. So that business is already done for him. So, you know, I think it just comes down to ye olde mandatories, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
And so that's going to be but Trevor Bryan, Kubrat Pulev, and Dillian White. How weird it is to look on Fight News rankings and it's, you know, Deontay Wilder, WBC, and then Andy Ruiz.
Andy
WBA,
Ruiz, wow.
IBF, WO, WBO. He's got three of them. He got the one he got robbed.
Yeah, I want to ask another question.
Sure.
Do you think when I say team, I mean like the management team of Deontay Wilder, do you think they're just like kicking themselves in the ass right now? I mean, that could have been Deontay Wilder screaming bomb squad and holding all the belts, you know, and that's one of the other things I took away from this fight. I'm like, wow, and Wilder, Team Wilder passed on that.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I'll tell you why. Because I think their team understands if they were looking for that big payday. Like I said, you had a bunch of guys trying to play chess on a checkerboard. But if they look at it right, you want Andy to have that backing that we were hoping he's going to get from the Mexican fans, right? So to me, I think Wilder and his team are thinking, shit, this could actually even be bigger. This could be potentially a much bigger fight between him and Ruiz. If Ruiz gets that, it does get in that rematch. If AJ does accept that rematch and it does happen in the UK or wherever it is, and Andy's able to do it again, it just makes it that much sweeter, I think, for the Wilder team. You know, they got a very difficult fight ahead right now with Ortiz. And to me, that's still a 50-50 fight. Then he's got Fury. So I think wherever they're going to go, there's still a lot of money to be made. So I don't think they're kicking themselves in the foot at all.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, it's all once that last bell rings, it goes back to being a business. Only when the bell rings is it a sport. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, one last thing. Being a subscriber to The Zone, I think right now, I mean, I'm more than happy right now. This fight right now, the Canelo fight, I'm ecstatic. I think I've got my money's worth. This excitement from this weekend, wow.
How easy could it have been for Joshua to have picked, you know, a guy moving up in weight like Triple G did with Vonis Martirosyan, you know? Like, they could have picked a highlight reel for the Madison Square Garden, the Sacrificial Lamb, but they picked a guy in Andy Ruiz who, I think they felt like they could beat him. He had the style for them, but, like, that they knew was a viable dude that had fought this year, you know, was sharp. He'd fought back in April, so, I mean, this wasn't that far off, you know? Credit to everybody involved. That network is committed to good fights, not just the fighters.
And as a subscriber, I'm happy. I'm pretty happy. For the technical part, I had a nice clear screen. You know, for the Canelo, I had problems, but this one, no, it was nice and clear. And the excitement, the drama. I mean, I'm pretty much. I mean, they sold me on a 1 year subscription, and I'm happy. Anyways, gentlemen, thank you very much for answering my call, and I'll be tweeting you guys throughout the week.
All right, then. Cool.
All right. Thank you very much.
You know what boxing and Burning Man have in common, boxing podcasts in particular? I have had conversations about how clear my stream is at both of those things. Just kind of odd. It's weird, like how language changes, you know?
Right.
My stream was quite clear as well backstage there. And you know what I like about the DAZN app? This is awesome. You know, I'd pause it, right? And then after a while, phone turns off, app shuts down. come back, when I turn the app back on, it picks up exactly where I left off.
Exactly
it doesn't
left
like
off, yeah.
It doesn't jump ahead and like, oh, I see the end of the fight and I'm like all mad, you know?
Right.
I like that, you know. So I think we've cleared the board here on calls. You know, one of our Twitter followers there, William Smith, WS198X, says, this fight brought out the worst in jingoistic rhetoric. All the UK trash talking after AJ losing, plus the hypersensitivity about Ruiz's Mexican heritage have been baffling. Yeah, I would agree. You know, I actually didn't see the UK trash talking. But, you know, all the stuff that he's a fraud or he's a glass jaw or this, that, and the other thing, I think are just kind of ridiculous, you know? It's heavyweight boxing. These are giant human beings hitting each other at a high rate of speed. It's just the way it went, you know? And he fought the smarter fight. He fought the inside game better. He knew he could, you know, duck under the taller Joshua and spring up. That was a big part of his plan. He was in shape, man. He was ready to go. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, to take away from either guy at this point or take away from Joshua, it just diminishes what he did. And I don't think it's that fair to
or
the
take
moment
away the,
to do that.
Take away the potential fights that can happen because of what Ruiz did in the heavyweight division is, you know, it's, you know, the thing is that the fighter that lost showed more class than the fans that watched it, that seemed to be very upset of the outcome. And the UK fans, I didn't see that either. What I did see were a lot of American fans that were bashing AJ, saying he's got a glass chin, that, well, we don't really know how good Ruiz is because he hasn't fought Wilder, you know, a Black King and all this other stuff. You know, the thing with boxing, it's always been driven by nationality and race. But sometimes the nationality
sure.
shit can just get really, really, really fucking stupid, man. You know, all I could say was AJ was a good human being and how he received his loss. And
oh, yeah, dude.
To see him,
yeah.
you know, be actually excited for Ruiz, and even AJ understood the magnitude of Andy Ruiz winning this bout, these titles for the Mexican people. He understood it. So why can't a lot of you not understand that? Why take away from that? You know, I'm excited for a number of reasons. One is he's the first Mexican heavyweight. Two is he made history. Three, it was a great upset. Four, man, he just threw a curveball in the heavyweight division. And he's an exciting heavyweight. He was exciting on Saturday night. Will he be exciting the next fight? We don't know. They always say when the guy gets the strap, he gets better. We're going to find out. You know, and all the excuses about AJ, just remember this. He gets back in the ring and he does something great. Then we'll be reminded that he is a great fighter. He's a good fighter, you know. But to X somebody off already because of a loss when his career is not over, to me, it's just stupidity. That means you don't have the love of the sweet science. The sweet science is just so much more than somebody's undefeated record. You don't understand the appreciation of this sport. And we don't have many Super Bowls. So you miss the mark. If you're out there going, who's to blame, AJ or Wilder, for them not to fight? You know, oh, you know, this and this and that. You just totally missed the mark. You missed a great fight. Anyway,
so any chance of Steve Rolls beating Gennady Golovkin this week? No.
I'm. You know what? I'm gonna go. I don't think so. You know, I think there's certain opponents that are picked for a certain reason, man. You know, but like I said, you know, it's boxing. Anything can happen. It's just like look, I've had a few people trying to argue with me about the whole contracts, about, you know, the immediate rematch. And I'm like, this is boxing. You know, anything can happen. You know, Al Haymon is a very smart, smart negotiator, a very smart businessman, very crude, as well as Eddie Hearn, as Bob Arum, you know, Golden Boy staff, you know. But Al knows what he's doing. I don't know what's on that contract. I really don't know what stipulations or was put onto their work. It's all going to fold out, you know. So the turn of the corner is always going to be, there's a blind spot there. So I don't know yet, you know. And I think that what makes everything more interesting. But to tell you the truth, I don't really care. I care about when the fights are made. And when I talk about being a realistic in this sport, it means that I honestly am a believer when they both walk in the ring. And when, you know what, Gable, tell me if I'm lying. When the guys, and I'm not saying Andy's going to do this, but there's a strong possibility. When a guy is fighting to get his respect and his position, and he finally gets it, which I don't think Andy has got it yet, as we could see, they could fall in the line of money, which is, well, I'm not going to fight this guy yet unless I'm getting this much or that much. We don't know yet. We need to sit back and just kind of let everything else kind of unfold, and then we can go from there. Right now, it's too early in this victory for Andy Ruiz to sit back and say, what's going to happen next, and is the contract really going to be honored and filled? I don't know yet. And like I said, I'm a realistic person when it comes to all of the business part of it, because it changes like everybody's underwears pretty fast.
Word. I got Triple G and Six. That's, you know, I know your voice is about.
I got Triple G in three. You know.
Oh really?
I got him in three. But you know, wouldn't it be another great story? Because everybody's been bagging on Rose. I mean, we've all made fun of the name. You know, Triple G, Rose over Steve. But it could have given Steve Rose an inspiration what Andy Ruiz did. It can, but inspiration and accomplishing it is two different things. I just don't see it happening. But then again, I didn't see Andy Ruiz winning this fight either. I thought he was going to be a game fighter. But I haven't seen enough of Rose to say that he's going to be a game fighter. Have you?
Yeah, I don't know enough about him, man.
Exactly.
They picked him for a reason. So, you know. But Oscar Valdez versus Jason Sanchez would be a fun fight. Gabriel Flores Jr., versus Salvador Brisseno, lightweights, 8 rounds on ESPN. Golovkin, of course, on DAZN, fighting at a catch weight, 164 pounds. He says he's got big news is coming up this week. We'll hear all about it this weekend, I'm sure. So June is rolling forward. Pretty exciting month. You've got Tyson Fury coming up on the 15th. And, yeah, man, let's wrap it up.
Exciting times here as a boxing fan. If you're one of those that said I left because there was no action in the heavyweight division, well, I will welcome you with open arms because the heavyweight division is back. Anyways, everybody have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive because you will spill your beer. Gabriel.
Peace.